Another court, this time in Belfast, has ruled that the British Prime Minister's Illegal Migration Act, which would send people seeking asylum to Rwanda, is incompatible with human rights law. Mr. Justice Humphreys of the High Court said that large parts of the Act should not apply to the North because they breached the Windsor Framework and the European Convention on Human Rights. The framework is the revised post-Brexit deal agreed between the EU and the UK last year. So what has been the reaction to the decision, which came following a legal challenge taken by the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission and a 16-year-old person from Iran who sought asylum and is residing in the north? Amanda Ferguson is a Belfast-based journalist who's on the line. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
Amanda, the Windsor Framework, well, it deals mostly with trade issues, as we know. So tell us about the human rights elements that it includes.
Yes, a lot of people are focusing on the fact that this is concerned with the Windsor Framework, but it all flows from the Good Friday Agreement and the fact that there can't be a diminution of rights. So what we heard, from example, the Una Boyd from the Committee for the Administration of Justice, who supported the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission in this legal challenge, essentially saying that the UK government was warned that the passing of the Illegal Migration Act and indeed the passing of the Rwanda Act, they were legislating in a way that wouldn't be compatible with the Windsor Framework and with the Good Friday Agreement, but they chose to proceed anyway. So the court yesterday, Mr. Justice Humphreys, ordered for the disapplication of provisions of that Illegal Migration Act and also declared other areas to be incompatible with the European Convention on Human Rights. So obviously the Good Friday Agreement applies to Northern Ireland and doesn't apply to Britain, and that's why we're seeing the difference here, and it looks as if the UK government's going to try and challenge it.
So in practice, if asylum seekers travel across the Irish Sea, end up in the north, they can't be sent to Rwanda.
Well, the case was taken by a 16-year-old asylum seeker from Iran who arrived in the UK as an unaccompanied child. He had travelled from France by small boat and claimed asylum in July of last year. Now, his application hasn't been determined yet, but he is essentially residing in Northern Ireland and made the case that he would be killed or sent to prison if he returned to Iran. So, you know, the government, you know, the human rights organisations essentially have said that the UK government's tried to argue a very narrow interpretation of the Good Friday Agreement, but that it hasn't been supported by the dedicated mechanism teams who advise on Article 2 of the Windsor Framework, and it doesn't reflect the Good Friday Agreement as a living document committed to human rights and peace and equality. So when the response came in from the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, he said that what had happened in Belfast High Court yesterday didn't affect plans for his previously stalled deportation flights leaving for Rwanda in July, apparently, and he said his government would take all steps to defend its position, including through appealing the ruling. So he said that the judgment changes nothing about our operational plans. He said we continue to work to get regular flights off to Rwanda in the coming weeks, and nothing will distract us from that. Now, the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission, you know, had argued that parts of the law were incompatible with the post-Brexit Windsor Framework that was jointly agreed last year by London and Brussels, and the agreement guaranteed there would be no diminution of human rights protected under the Good Friday Agreement following the UK's withdrawal from the EU. So the immigration legislation, as we all know, is at the heart of Rishi Sunak's pledge to stop asylum seekers making crossings from France to England, and this is certainly a thorn in the side. And we've seen in the various political reaction from the Northern Ireland parties that depending on your political outlook, depends how you've responded to this. So we had a response in from Sinn Féin, which is obviously very critical of the UK government's legislation. It said that the High Court judgment proved that the UK government's Illegal Migration Act was unworkable and it wasn't compliant with human rights. And then we heard from the DUP's interim leader, Gavin Robinson, who said that UK government must ensure ensure that immigration policy applies equally across the UK. So there are people, different people from different political backgrounds finding different things in this really ruling, but certainly whenever you're speaking to people who are concerned with human rights, they feel as if this ruling in Belfast yesterday offers protection for people who are seeking support.
Mm. And on this side of the border, the government is saying they're studying the document. This is all in the context of in the last few weeks as well, where the Justice Minister here said that maybe over 90% of people claiming asylum in Dublin in the Republic have come across the land border. Aintu, the political party led by Pather Tobin, formerly of Sinn Féin, he's calling for an Irish sea border for people, checks at airports and ports. The DUP unlikely to support such a call, given that they oppose such checks as part of the Brexit arrangements.
I would think so. It was reported yesterday in the Irish News that up to 7,000 asylum seekers had passed through the north on their way to Dublin in 2024, according to Irish government figures. However, I think that that figure is still being disputed by some groups who are saying that it would be almost impossible to work out exactly why people come forward at the International Protection Office rather than coming through ports. There could be a variety of reasons why people may not make their claim as soon as they hit a port, that they could go to office for the office for various reasons. I think one of the examples that was given to me was that if perhaps someone was studying in Ireland and then something in their home country, perhaps their relative had been tortured or had been murdered, they may then feel as if they would be subject to the same risk if they returned to their own country, and at that point they might make an application for protection. So I think people need to drill down a bit further on the detail of all that, because there are conflicting views on the data, and some people saying that it would be impossible to work out exactly a figure on this. But yeah, it's certainly it's a headache for both governments in terms of the UK and the Irish government, and obviously Northern Ireland is affected by that. But it is really for the UK government and the Irish government, who have had to work out the common travel area for over 100 years to try and resolve all this.
Amanda, thank you very much. Amanda Ferguson, journalist in Belfast.